Well, it was the former Treasurer Paul Keating who once said, never stand between a state premier and a bucket of money. Well, Joe Hockey is clearly not heeding that advice, unveiling, as we've said, $80 billion worth of cuts to state health and education funding. The federal treasurer says plugging the gaps from those cuts is the problem for the state treasurers. Joe Hockey says he simply doesn't run hospitals and schools. This is what he told this program earlier this morning.
If they want to maintain that level of funding for their schools and their hospitals, which is well in excess of what the base funding has been over previous times, then they have to get it from the taxpayer, as we would have to get it from the very same taxpayer.
Well, I'm joined now by the Victorian Liberal Treasurer, Michael O'Brien, and the New South Wales Liberal Treasurer, Andrew Constance. Good morning to you both.
Good morning. Good morning,
Alan. If I could start with you, Mr. O'Brien, will you be replacing this federal funding cut from your own state taxpayers, as Joe Hockey advises?
Well, look, we need to see what effect this is going to have and when it is going to have an effect. Our initial take is that there won't be too many changes in the immediate short term, and certainly our state budget handed down last week provided for additional funding for schools and our hospitals. What we are concerned about, though, is that after the 4 years of apparent uncertainty that we have there will be a stepping back by the federal government in terms of funding schools and hospitals. And obviously that's something that we're going to need to assess what that will mean for Victoria schools and hospitals, because we don't want to see our services diminish.
It's pretty obvious what it'll mean, won't it? It'll be a big hole in your state budget that you'll have to fix if you're re-elected in November. Is the federal treasurer inviting you to begin a debate about increasing or broadening the GST?
Well, look, we've always said that tax reform shouldn't be code for increasing taxes. One of our concerns in Victoria is that the current distribution of GST is one which severely damages Victoria. From 1 July this year, we're only going to receive 88 cents in the dollar. If we simply received the money that the GST that Victorians paid, our budget would be $1.5 billion a year better off.
In fact, you've described the GST as a giant Ponzi scheme. Nevertheless, I don't think the South Australians and the Tasmanians are going to offer you up a few more cents in the dollar, do you?
Well, the Commission of Audit, one of their recommendations was that there should be an equal per capita distribution of GST, and that smaller states that have been subsidised in the past should receive direct funding from the federal government. We think that's a very sensible recommendation of the Commission of Audit. We will be working to seek the federal government's acceptance of that.
Turning now to the New South Wales Treasurer, Andrew Constance. Is Michael O'Brien dreaming there if he thinks he can plug the hole in his state budget by clawing back some GST money from the smaller states?
Well, I think Michael and I are at one. We are very concerned about what this means for our respective states. I have to say, in relation to Joe's comment earlier, well, that's nice, Joe, but address vertical fiscal imbalance. Let's address the mix match in terms of the capacity of the Commonwealth to collect the tax and look at the core expenditure requirements we have in terms of particularly health and education. This is pretty close to one of the largest cost shifts that I've ever seen, and we make no apologies for sticking up for the people of New South Wales when it comes to Canberra in this regard. We had some very important agreements in place to address growth into the future. We have now funding uncertainty as a result of Joe's budget last night, which we want to work with him on in terms of the sustainability of funding into the future. I think the key point I'd make is that we can't now afford to sit around for 12 to 18 months for a tax white paper and a federation white paper. There are things that need to happen immediately, and we want to see the Commonwealth obviously progress them in a more timely fashion so that we have greater funding certainty, particularly from New South Wales' perspective, as we head into a state budget in 5 weeks' time.
But the federal treasurer has just told this program it's not up to me to figure this out. It's up to the states to figure this out. So is New South Wales prepared to spearhead a debate about reforming the GST?
Look, we're absolutely happy to spearhead a debate in relation to tax reform. I mean, if you look at the per capita relativity in terms of GST, we're shortchanged in New South Wales.
Is that an argument you're ever going to win, though?
Well, the relativity is an important factor in this regard. And we also have to recognise that consumption behaviour has changed over recent years, certainly since the global financial crisis. And we must have some degree of funding certainty. I mean, we're as accountable to rating agencies as the Commonwealth in this regard. We have major infrastructure programs underway. Victorians are doing a great job in this regard. We're doing a great job in New South Wales in terms of our infrastructure programs. But that said, I mean, one of our core responsibilities is service provision in the areas of health and education. And what we've seen last night is deeply concerning.
All right, if I could go back to you, Mr. O'Brien, let's talk about the GP co-payment. The suggestion is it might force people who don't want to pay it into the emergency departments run by state governments, that's the hospitals. Do you need to think about imposing a matching payment there to avoid cost shifting from the federal government, which funds GPs, to the states that run the hospitals?
Look, it's certainly something we'll have to monitor very closely, whether the actual behaviour of the community is such as to involve a flight from GP waiting rooms to hospital emergency departments. Hospital emergency departments are not for people with stubbed toes. They're not for people who are presenting with things which should really be dealt with by a general practitioner. We are not able to deal with a form of cost shifting where the federal government effectively, if this co-payment has the effect of sending people to hospital emergency departments, that is just a form of cost shifting which we can't bear. So we need to examine how this does operate. I should say, there's been conflicting research that's been undertaken. Some research suggests there will be a shift from the GP waiting room to the hospital emergency department. Other research suggests that won't be the case. So it may just be we have to see what the lived experience of this change will be, but we'll be watching it like a hawk, and we'll be watching it to make sure we don't see our hospital emergency departments unnecessarily clogged up.
Andrew Constance, you've got a budget in 5 weeks. Do you need to have a co-payment at emergency departments to stop the flight from GPs?
No, we'll be like Victoria. We'll be monitoring this development very closely with the potential for, obviously, that shift in terms of throughput through emergency departments. So we will be sitting down with the Commonwealth to discuss this. No doubt Gillian Skinner, as New South Wales Health Minister, will be doing this just to gain greater understanding in terms of any further information that can be put on the table in this regard. But we do express concern in this regard. It's something which will need to be monitored.
All right, let's look at the massive increase in roads funding. To you, Michael O'Brien, the federal government's offering cash incentives for states to recycle or privatise their assets. Victoria's already done a lot of privatisation. Does that leave you shortchanged?
This is something that I raised with Joe Hockey previously, so I would love for this to be retrospective, because obviously Victoria undertook a lot of this asset recycling in the 1990s, but has made clear that he's only looking forward. We accept that with a heavy heart, but what we have announced in just last week is that we've announced Victoria is divesting Rural Finance Corporation, which is a government-owned agribusiness lender. We're selling that to the Bendigo Bank. We're also announced we'll be issuing a medium-term lease over the Port of Melbourne early next year. So we've got two significant assets. We've had confirmed they will both qualify for the 15% incentive payments from the Commonwealth, and certainly Victoria is very keen to take advantage of that opportunity.
Andrew Constance?
Good luck to Victoria in the arguing of retrospectivity. I've already tried it.
How'd you go?
Not good. Can I just make this point? We had a port transaction at Newcastle last week, which was incredibly successful. It's allowed us to untie capital in the Port of Newcastle in terms of its management to revitalise the city of Newcastle. We have more, obviously, to do in this regard, and no doubt there will be healthy competition between the states to obviously gain access to that $5 billion pool. The incentive payments are there to be able to recycle capital. We've embarked on that program. We'll continue to do so. And, it's an exciting initiative because it's about driving more productive infrastructure opportunities across the states, and that's something which we're very happy to work with Canberra on.
A quick question to each of you. First of all, on Gonski, is this the end of the Gonski education reforms? First, Mr. O'Brien?
Well, we've, I suppose we welcome the fact that there's 4 years of better schools funding. What we had argued for was the full 6 years, which is what Victoria had signed up for.
Okay.
We're still committing to putting our $5.4 billion extra into our school system over 6 years, but we were looking for the federal government to step up and do all of it 6 years, and we're certainly disappointed. They look like they're stopping at four.
Andrew Constance, will New South Wales still put in the money it promised to under the Gonski reforms?
Yeah, we've committed our expenditure, and we're obviously the first state to sign up to Gonski. I mean, this budget last night has major ramifications in terms of education expenditure, particularly in 5 years' time. We know that over the course of our forward estimates, there's a $240 million hit we'll be taking. The point I'd make in this regard, though, is money to one side. The principles around reform in terms of local schools, local decisions, local school autonomy is a very sound one, and it's an important one. We will continue that vital reform work, but again, we have to express concern in those later years across 2017-18, 18-19, and we were looking at a $1.3 billion hit as a result of last night's budget. That's unsustainable. We'll be continuing to express that concern to Canberra, and obviously we need to resolve these important issues around the Federation and around tax, which give us greater flexibility and funding certainty into the future.
Sure. Thank you both very much for your times this morning.
Thank you.
And that was the Victorian Treasurer Michael O'Brien, and with him the New South Wales Treasurer Andrew Constance, both on the line there reacting to the federal budget.